John chapter 5, is everybody there say amen? All right, so let's start in verse number 16. The Bible said, therefore did the Jews, we're preaching through the book of John now, and we're getting down to this verse here, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Oh, them poor folks that gets into this works religion, they're in bad shape, ain't they? I'll tell you something, this old works religion hates grace, amen? They, by the way, just thought I'd pray for Brother Tony West and pray for his family. Tony, he's a visitation pastoring around for us. And brother, I tell you, he's going to need your prayers, visiting folks up and down the road. Well, it said verse number 17, Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. And by the way, somebody's working there. God's working, we ought to work. Amen. Yeah. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. There's a verse on the deity of Jesus Christ, on the equalness of the triune Godhead there. You ought to write that down. You know, some of your Mormon and Jehovah's Witness friends and unbelievers and so forth like that don't believe in the triune Godhead. There's a verse about the deity of Jesus Christ. He is God. Amen. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he doeth, himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Now he's talking about greater works and marvel. He's talking about greater works here. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth him. Now, do you ever think about that, raising up the dead? I want to preach this morning on the subject of resurrection, okay? Which resurrection are you going to be in? Which resurrection are you going to be in? It said there, the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son. That's what we've been trying to do here this morning. The best we could is honor the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Now, I don't know if you've got this verse marked in your Bible, but you need to. If you've been to borrow or steal a pen from your neighbor, get it right now. Because verse 24 will help you when the devil's throwing all the mud from hell at it that he can and shooting his fiery darts at your soul. Verse 24 is a verse that every child of God needs to know. This is a mountain peak verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath something. What's he have? Everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. That is a spiritual resurrection. And Jesus in chapter 3 talked about the new birth. That is a spiritual resurrection. We were dead in trespass and sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, received him as our Savior, and God resurrected us spiritually speaking. He made a dead man alive. And I was dead spiritually and God made me alive spiritually. He birthed me, made a new creature in Jesus Christ, born again of the Spirit of God. All right, now, that's a wonderful verse. Shall not come into condemnation. Now, you tell me something. If you have believed on him, if you believed on the Lord, you have something. What do you have, according to that verse? Everlasting what? How long is everlasting? It's everlasting. Amen. That's right. It's everlasting. How many of you believe that? Amen. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the word of God. Right. It's everlasting. And he said that now, since that not only have they got everlasting life, but he said they're not going to do something else. They're not going to come in, shall not come into condemnation. Amen. I'm not under condemnation. I was condemned. Jesus said, I came not to condemn. He said, you're condemned already. But he said, I came to save. And so he said here, you're not going to come into condemnation. Now I'm going to give you something this morning. It may choke the devil. But if you're saved, you're not going to come into condemnation. You can't. You've been given eternal life. Brother Tom's story, it's so good to see you. Boy, I tell you, it's good to see you here. I tell you what, you're going to like this message. It's talking about a resurrected body. You and me both need one pretty bad. Amen. Brother Dale, we go, this ain't it, amen. You're going to have hair again. Amen. We'll have hair and resurrection. Amen.
Really?
Yeah. I think so. I sure hope so. All right. And never have to comb it nor cut it. You reckon? I don't know about that. But anyway, Listen, not going to come into condemnation. It's over with. My sins were judged at the cross in Christ. He bore my sin. I'm not coming into condemnation. Now it says, but it's passed from death unto life. Woo! Now let's get down here. Verse 9. Now that's a spiritual resurrection. That's what he's talking about here. Watch verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. You know who that's talking about? Spiritually dead people. You may be sitting in this auditorium this morning and you're lost. If you're lost, you're spiritually dead. And the Holy Ghost is speaking to you right now. And you, if you'll hear His voice and respond to that voice, God will resurrect you spiritually. He'll save you today if you'll call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what it says. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice. And that's not talking about the physically dead. That's talking about the spiritually dead here. There's two kinds of resurrection going to be mentioned here. He said, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Ephesians chapter 2 said, now He hath quickened those that were dead in trespasses and in sin. God makes us alive in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Until I got saved, you wouldn't have seen me up here praising the Lamb of God. I was dead spiritually. You wouldn't have seen me up here singing the praises of Jesus Christ. I was dead spiritually. But I'm going to tell you something about living people. They move. Amen. They got life in them. Dead people don't do nothing. Dead people dead. And you, when you're dead in trespass and sin, but you get saved, you say, I'll tell you one thing. I would never be a preacher like he is, make a fool of myself up there. You let God save you and deal with you a while. You'll find out He put something in you never knew was there. He put His life in you. But He said, they that hear shall live. Watch verse 26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so He hath given the Son to have life in Himself. You know where you're going to find life? You're going to find life in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe upon the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now it said there, he said life in Jesus Christ, verse 27, and hath given Him authority and execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man. Now, he shifts from those verses there of it talking about a spiritual resurrection, because it is very important about the two. This determines which resurrection physically that you're going to be in. Are you following me? Everybody here say amen. Amen. Anybody not here say oh my. Everybody's here then. Okay. You have what you do with your spiritual, about your spiritual resurrection determines which physical resurrection you're going to be in. There are two physical resurrections mentioned in the Bible and you're about to read them. Look at that here. Marvel not, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. Now, I'm talking about Jesus said greater things than this, and He's just going to make you marvel. I've buried a lot of people. It is not a funny thing to watch somebody die. I've watched a lot of people die. I've sat by the hospital beds, and I've watched them, as the old-timers used to say, croak. And I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't no funny thing to watch somebody die. They give people lots of medicines these days to take the sting out of it. And I'm okay, that's fine, whatever. But I'll tell you what I've seen. In fact, I'm just going to be dead level honest with you. I wasn't there when he died, but I was there not shortly before. Brother Oscar Cunningham was in that ICU up there. And I'll tell you something, I couldn't take it. I could not take it. That soul and spirit leaves that body. Boy, I tell you what, it ain't ice cream and candy now. It's a real deal. And then they take their body out of there, pull that sheet over and take that body up there and put it on a little deal, and they take them out there and send them off to the morgue. Tie a string and a tag on toe. Send them down to the morgue. And I ain't never went in to watch all what goes on, but they stick a needle in you somewhere and try to drain all the blood they can out of you. And then they try to pump you full of formaldehyde or whatever that is to preserve your body as much as they can. But they ain't doing nothing. You're dead. Right. And then you have your funeral for them. And I tell you what, I never will forget as a young preacher the first time I stood by the cup, a deal like that. And I'm telling you what, there's a little gap between that casket and that vault and that ground. And you look down there 6 feet under. And they close that casket down for the last time. And they put that down that vault. And then everybody's supposed to leave. But I've stuck around. They put that vault deal on there and crank that sucker down. I mean, tighten her down. Next thing you do, they'll leave her. They'll let her down the ground. Everybody's supposed to leave. And then they start putting that dirt over. And I want to tell you something. You listen to me. This preacher right here. I was at your kids, the dean and the sister, all your daddy's funeral there. And I tell you what, I like them kind of funerals. I tell you what, they know you spending $10,000 on a funeral. Give it to the kids and let them go have a party or supper. Amen. Yep. I'm honest with you. I understand. I don't want nobody to spend $10,000 to bury me. But anyway, I get off of that. But I'll tell you something. Their daddy was laying there in that open casket. And in Missouri, you can bury him in a day's, if you bury him in a day's time, right? But Sister Brother Smith was buried that way. I buried Brother Smith in 24 hours. If you bury him, you don't have to have him embalming or nothing like that. And I'll tell you what, they opened the casket and their daddy was laying there. And I'll tell you what, that body had already, that decomposition was getting ready to set in, wasn't it, Dean? Or kids there. And I'll tell you something, folks, death's serious. It's real. That Bible said there's coming a day when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Amen. They're not going to hear Mary's voice. Right. They're not going to hear Muhammad's voice. Right. And they're not hearing Buddha's voice. Yep. And they're not hearing nobody else, Brigham Young's voice. There's only one voice going to bring people. Now, I'm talking about a miracle. I'm talking about the power of God. You listen to this preacher. In the book of Genesis, it says that he spoke this world into existence. And God said, it came, nothing came out of nowhere. God created. And the Bible says that there's our coming here. And he said, you don't need to marvel at this. Amen. Help me preach, brother. I appreciate it. Amen. I wish folk, some of you got old and got past that. I appreciated that. I ain't never going to forget that. He had his hands up in the air and helped me preach. He fighting the devil at me. But anyway, man, I about forgot where I was at. That was such a shock to me. I hadn't had anybody help me like that, and I don't know when. But what I'm saying to you is this morning. It's not a funny thing when you see that. The Bible said, look at that verse. He said, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now watch it. Here it is, verse 29. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, there's two resurrections here. Now, to just be real brief about this, there's at least seven resurrections in the Bible. You have Jesus' resurrection. You have the saints when he died on the cross that arose in the streets of Jerusalem resurrected. You have a national resurrection of the nation Israel that's already happened, was fulfilled in May 14th, 1948. There is also a future spiritual resurrection of Israel in the book of Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. There'll be a day when the nation Israel, the Jewish people, recognize Jesus Christ for who he is and receive him. But there is those are five. Then there's the two resurrections of people, just physical resurrections. Now, it just clearly tells you there's a resurrection unto life and a resurrection unto damnation. All right. Now it said those that did good. Well, the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. So what's it talking about there? The Bible teaches, if you watch this book of John, it'll show you what those that did good is. Those that did good are those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to do a good, that's the only good work God will ever recognize in you. That's the good, is you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? That's the good, okay, that he's talking about here. And he said there's two resurrections. Now, I want you to take your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to the resurrection of the just. Now, let's have a little Bible class. There's a resurrection of the just here, and there's a resurrection unto damnation. The resurrection of life. All right, in verse 29, two resurrections. Resurrection of life and resurrection of damnation. Now, when you've gone to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want you to look up here just a second, and I want to say something as solemnly as I know how to. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, said that he said there's an hour coming when he said there'll be the all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of theological deals about time sequence and all that. They don't have time to. But he said there's going to be two resurrections. There's going to be a resurrection of life. He said that first. Then he said there's going to be a resurrection of damnation. Now, listen to me. Every person in this building and outside this building and that ever listens to this message is going to either be in one of those resurrections. You're not going to escape it. You're going to be in the resurrection of life, or you will be in the resurrection of damnation. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're going to die. You deny that, you're just in blue-loo land. You know you're going to die someday, okay? But God said there's going to be a day when you hear his voice. Now, let me just say something to you and get something out of the way here. If you're here today and you're lost and you die in the condition you're in, the second your soul departs from your body, you will be in hell. Luke chapter 16, the rich man died, he was lost, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now they buried him, but watch this. All that goes into the ground is your body. Your spirit and your soul goes either to hell. If you're lost, you're going to go to hell. You're one heartbeat away from hell right now if you're lost. Now let me just tell you something real honestly this morning. I'm not here for pigeon playing today. I am not playing church. I'm not piddling around with your soul. I'm not going to play games with your soul. There's coming a day of judgment when I'm going to stand before God Almighty as a called preacher and pastor of this book. He has said, preach the word. And I'm not going to have you say to me at judgment, Reggie, you were not honest with me and you did not tell me the truth. You must be born again. You've got to be saved in order to go to heaven. If you die without being born again, you're going to bust hell wide open instantly and lift your arm and scream in the depths of hell. And you'll be in torment. And there ain't no priest going to pray you out. Nope. Nobody's going to pay you out. Nope. But you are coming out someday. Amen. At the second resurrection. At the resurrection of damnation. Now listen to me. Your body's in the dirt. Your spirit and soul's in hell. Now if you're saved here today and you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. If you die as a saved person, instantly, you're absent, present. Paul said, by the way, write this down. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Philippians chapter 1. If you want to look up the references, I'm not going to take time to turn there. Paul said, to die is gain for the child of God. Paul said, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Amen. But he said, it's needful that I stay here while I'm with you. God's got a work for me to do. But he said, if I was to die, he said, I'd be with the Lord. He said in the book of Corinthians, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know how much plainer God could make it than that. So let's get it down real simple this morning. If you die lost, you're going to hell. That's right. If you die saved, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But both of your bodies is going in the dirt. Okay? Now there's coming today, and we're going to read here in 1 Thessalonians an account of the resurrection unto life. Are you ready? Verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, I was preaching a funeral one time of a Christian person. As far as I knew, that person was saved and with the Lord. And when I mentioned that under the tent, after we said our amens and they left, a man come up to me and he said, you just got through lying to those people and that family. I said, sir, how did I lie to them? He said, that man ain't with the Lord. He's in that grave. He's sleeping in that grave. I said, sir, I'm going to tell you right now, that man ain't sleeping in that grave. The only thing I put in that grave is his body. I said, Jesus was dealing with Mary and Martha about Lazarus, who had died. Jesus described him as sleeping. And the disciples still couldn't get it. They was like you are. And Jesus finally said, he's dead. Amen. All right. Now, the Bible uses the terminology asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not mean you're in some kind of an unconscious state. You're either your soul and spirit's either in heaven or in hell after you die. I believe that with every fiber of my bone. Can I tell you something? A God that would leave you in a 6-foot hole for 2,000 years, or I'm telling you, that's stupid. And that ain't what the Bible teaches to start with. Okay? I said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. And by the way, I'll prove to you they're not, that their soul and spirit's not in the grave by this passage of scripture here. That ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. I want to tell you something, folks. You've been to a funeral when there ain't no hope and everybody knows they died and went to hell. That's a bad service to be in. Amen. Now, he said, you can cry and weep, but you don't have to cry and weep like them that ain't got no hope. For, verse 15, watch this. For if we've been baptized. No, that ain't what it says. For if we what? Believe that Jesus did what? Died and rose again. There's the gospel. If you believe the gospel that Christ died in your place, that he rose from the dead, If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus, will God do something? What? Bring with him. Now you tell me, how can he bring him with him if they ain't with him? Amen. Amen. They're with him. Now watch what happens. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, the only way you ain't never going to die is right here in this passage of scripture. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we ain't going out first. You're not going to prevent those that are asleep, he said. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall be we with the Lord for 6 weeks. I'm being honored this morning, but you know what? I want to pastor a church where folks is reading their Bible, not listening to the preacher all the time. You need to check what the preachers are saying against the Bible. It said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's done and over with right there. Amen. I'll tell you right now. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's comforting. That's comforting. It's comforting this morning to know where you're going if you was to die. It's comforting to know where you're going if the Lord comes back. And this is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection unto life. Okay? Yeah. Now, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 that you're going to have a body. In 1 Corinthians 15, we won't go there this morning. I'm going to let you out here just a little while. But in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells you that your body is going to be changed. Okay? It was a sown, a natural body. It's going to be raised a spiritual body. And it's going to be a body. And Philippians 2 says that it's going to be a body fashioned like unto the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I know about the body of Jesus Christ as he resurrected. He could go. He wasn't bound by barriers of wall and natural barriers. He could appear into a room where the disciples was. But he could also eat fish and honeycomb. He could fly. He ascended up into glory from Mount Carmel. He had a new glorified body. But watch this. He had the scars of his crucifixion in his glorified body. So I don't know all about it, but I know this. It'll be all right. I also know this, that your body will never, it'll be redeemed from the curse in the Garden of Eden. And you'll never die no more. And you'll never be sick no more. And there won't be no hospitals in heaven. And there won't be any dentist clinics in heaven. And there won't be any funeral parlors in heaven. And there won't be any prisons in heaven. And there won't be no jails in heaven. And I'm telling you something, folks, it's going to be wonderful. Amen. And that's where we're headed to. And that's why I'm so happy about it all. And I'm so happy. And so, you know, I want you to be in that resurrection of life. You all want to be in that resurrection life? You better be sure you've got Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, you ain't. Now, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to look at the resurrection unto damnation. It's recorded prophetically in Scripture, Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to look at it. Revelation chapter 20. Now, Jesus spoke of these, both of these. There in our John chapter 5, he said, marvel not that I say unto you, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, we just got through, and I did that quick. I mean, I could preach 2 hours on the rapture of the church. That passage talking about the rapture of the church and resurrection of the saints of God. This passage of Scripture is the passage on the resurrection of damnation. Let's look at it very careful. Verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. That's enough to make the doodaddies run up and down your back right there. That white throne, that great white throne, is somewhere out in the universe. It's not in heaven, as I understand it. It's not here on earth. It's out in the universe, and it's where God is going to judge the lost people that are resurrected in the resurrection of damnation. The reason it's white, that speaks of God's purity, God's absolute righteousness, his absolute holiness. I'm telling you something. Did you know something? Listen to me. I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, whoever lives to make intercession for me. And his wounds and his blood plead my case. He bore my sin. if my sins have been placed on Jesus, then it's not on, they're not on me. That would be double jeopardy, and God would be an unjust God. God's not going to punish this person, two people, for the same crime that didn't do it. Either Christ bore our sin, or you're going to bear it. You see, if you're here today and you're not saved, and you've not received Christ as your Savior, you are going to have to bear your sin. He is called the sin bearer. He bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that God does is takes your sin, past, present, and future, by the way, places it on Jesus Christ, and you're no longer under condemnation, but passed from death unto life. Okay? It's the innocent Christ dying for the guilty, you and I. That's the gospel. The Christianity and the gospel is not a do-better organization. We have to have a lamb that shed the blood for us and died on the cross. Now, you're going to read here, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most profound passages of Scripture in the entire Word of God. And I pray that you'll read along reverently and respectfully in the presence of the God of whom you're going to stand one day soon. Verse number 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Watch this, folks. Jesus said about those who have received him, I go away to prepare a what? A place. Oh, words are important in the Bible. I go away to prepare a place for them. Here, these people, there was no place found for them. Verse number 12, and I saw the dead. You know what that is? That's the spiritually dead, those that had never been quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God, by the new birth. I saw the, and by the way, the physically, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, I personally believe the first books that were opened is the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible. You will never overestimate the importance of the book you hold in your hand. For when eternity rolls, it's all going to be about what was written in this book. And he said another book was opened, which is the book of life. I believe there is a book of life. And I don't want to get into a lot of details today for time's sake, but there is a book. And the Bible speaks many places of having your name blotted out of the book of life. How many here believes that if a baby dies, it goes to hell? I don't see a hand in the house, and I'm glad. Because I don't believe a baby goes to hell. A just God would not send a baby, an innocent baby, to hell, would he? Okay? Let me tell you what this preacher believes. And I believe this as a hard personal study, not reading after anybody's commentary. And you study this out for yourself. I believe every person that's ever been conceived in the womb, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? I believe that you will come, if you keep rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, there will come a day when your name will be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
That's right.
That's what I believe. And that's from studying the Word of God. You can't really be honest with you about it. If you'll study every passage of Scripture that has to do with that and bring them all together, you will reach no other conclusion. Moses said he would that God would blot his name out of the Book of Life for the children of Israel. He had such love for them. But nonetheless, this is the book of life. And the dead, talk about those that were unsaved, died unsaved, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Folks, God is a just God. He's not going to send you to the eternal lake of fire without you knowing clearly why you're going. It wouldn't be right for somebody, a policeman, to haul me before a judge and the judge say, you're going to go 30 years to pen, get him out of here. And I'm like, what is going on? You're going to be brought before and you're going to be judged individually and personally by God. Okay? You say, well, man, that'd take a lot of time. You're not in time here. You're in eternity. Okay? Verse number 13, watch this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You may have your body burned, which is a heathen practice, by the way. Christ was buried. All the people of God had burials, not burnings. And you may have your body burned and you may scatter the ashes over the Ozarks Hills or over the ocean. But I want to tell you something. God says right here that the water is going to give up. you're going to come out. You say, well, I'll tell you what, they went down that ship and the fish ate them. You're still coming out. Let me tell you something. If you've never seen the movies of the Nazis taking bulldozers and digging trenches from here to the other side of Norwood and burying 10,000 people's bodies in those things, I want to tell you something, folks, half-rotted bodies. Not a pretty thing. I'm saying to you this, I don't care where you go, you can't run from God. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Watch this now. And death and hell, remember, if you die lost, you were in hell. And hell delivered up the dead, the spirits of the dead, those who died, were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Now, you do not find anybody in this resurrection and in this judgment going to heaven. Nobody. This is a judgment for lost people alone. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Let me say something about death. You and I look at death as a ceasing of existence sometimes. Not so. It is not reincarnation. You're not going to be reincarnated. You better hope you don't come back like a rat. I'll shoot you. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your life? Over there starving to death because they believe the grandma's a brangus cow. Mm. That's what heathenism will take you into. It's not annihilation, Seventh-day Adventists. Seventh-day Adventists believe you go to hell, but you're just burned up and you cease to exist. You got to watch what they mean when they say what they say. Amen. They do not believe in eternal conscious torment. And if they tell you they do, then they don't believe what the Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches. Right. Okay? The dead are brought up out of hell. They stand before God at the great white throne judgment and they're judged. And it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death is a spiritual, eternal separation from God. The word death in its core meaning means to be separated. If I die this afternoon, my body is going to be separated from my spirit and soul. Death means separation. I will be separated from my family as far as physical existence. The second death is the worst thing you can ever dream about. Because it is the point in eternity when God has judged you as a lost person, brought you up out of hell, and by the way, a lot of people, you never hear this, but you're going to have, lost people will have some type of a resurrected body. I don't know what it'll be like. The Bible said that in the millennium, they look upon the carcasses of them that didn't believe. I don't know all about it, okay? I can tell you some wild things in the Old Testament as to this subject. But you're going to be judged according to your works. And then God says, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Read your Bible. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's your resurrection damnation. Now, the simple question is this today, and I'm out of here. Which resurrection are you going to be in? We can talk about details and theological differences here. That don't mean beans. You know what really counts? Which resurrection are you going to be in? You will either be in one of these. Jesus said, either resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. I'm going to ask you a solid question today. And you may walk out of this church house lost. And you may get in your car and go back home lost. And God may give you another 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But he may not give you 2 hours. And I want to ask you a question. If you knew your casket was laying up here at the funeral home and we'd be having your service by this time next week, would you get saved today? Really and honestly? You see, if you say that but you won't get saved today, you're playing games with God. And that's the most dangerous thing you'll ever do in your life. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. You're exactly right. You ought to be scared. Amen. I'm trying to scare the living daylights out of you. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Hell is no laughing matter. Hell is not something to play with. And to think about the fact, and I've thought about this, because I think as a preacher, I owe it to myself to try as best as I can without knowing I cannot utterly conceive it. But what will it be like to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever? I want to give you one last thing to make you think. In the book of Matthew, where it describes the scene, it says, that the angels, they were cast, that it says they were cast into the lake of fire. Why were they being cast? Because they were not going willingly. I believe you will be dragged away from the throne of God, screaming, begging, oh God, no, God, no, God, no, no, no. But you're going to go. And you'll be cast lake fire. And the thought that gets me is, what would it be in a man's mind to think, I'm in the lake of fire and I'm here forever. And I will never get out. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, oh God, I just want to personally say thank you for loving me while I was yet a sinner. I thank you, Lord, for loving me when I was lying. I thank you for loving me when I was drinking. I thank you for loving me in my immorality. I thank you, God, for loving me while I was yet a sinner. But Lord, if I had never done any of those things, I was still a sinner. And God, you love me so much that you sent your Son to die in my place on the cross. And Lord, I've tried to be good. It ain't never worked. I've tried to pacify you in some other way to merit your favor, but it's never worked. And dear Lord, I want to thank you this morning that you sent your word into this world and you sent people in this world to preach it and proclaim it, to teach it, and to share it with people. That it's by grace we're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lord, all we've got to do is just turn from our sin to the cross of Calvary. Look to the dying Lamb of God that shed His blood, died in our place. And then look, Lord, to that empty tomb where He rose from the dead and believe on Your Son. And You said, Lord, that we would pass from death unto life. And Lord, that we would not come into condemnation, but that we'd have everlasting life. Now, Lord, either you tell the truth or you don't. And I believe you. Fact of it is, Lord, the only place I've ever found any truth was in your book.
Amen.
And dear God in heaven, I'm just asking you this morning, would you plow up the ground of the lost? Would you bring them under conviction?
Amen.
Would you make them see their need of Christ? And dear Lord, would you put the fear of God in them? Would you make them afraid to die? For Lord, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh God, today I pray, glorify yourself and glorify the name of your Son Jesus by the saving of souls this morning. As our heads are bowed and eyes is closed, I know I've preached longer than I really intended to. But I believe God's been in this service all the way through. And I want to tell you, dear friend, lost friend, the Lord is reaching out His hand to you today. He's reaching out His hand to you today. And I lift up that cross to you today. That's your only hope. And I want you to be saved today. And I'm going to ask you to do something. You see, in the day of judgment, it won't be, would you come? You will come. Today you have a choice. You can walk out of here and turn God away, or you can walk down this aisle and receive Him. As the pianist plays this there softly today, I'm going to ask you to come up out of your seat right now. And I'm going to ask you just to simply say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Lord, save my wretched soul and have mercy on me through the merits of Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning right now? Just get up out of your seat. You say, well, I'd bother somebody. I wouldn't worry about bothering somebody. You won't be worried about that in the lake of fire. Why don't you come right now? Anywhere in this building, you say, preacher, I'm lost. Why don't you come? Let me ask you a question. How many in this building today have said, Brother Reggie, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I was to die right now, I'd be in the presence of my dear Savior. for I believe he died on the cross for my sin and rose from the dead, and I want to raise my hand. Would you raise your hand? Brother Edge, I believe with all my heart, if I died right now, it'd be with my precious Lord. Rolled him up high and thank him right now for dying for you. Kept your soul out of hell, amen. The blessed thing, amen. Now I want to ask you, you may put them down and ask you a question right now quickly. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand, but I'd like to be able to. I'm struggling. I got battles. I tell you, I don't know what's going on, but the Lord's dealing with me. Would you pray for me? I want to be saved, but I don't know. But listen, I ain't going to tear him. I ain't going to embarrass you. That's what I'm here about. I'm trying to lead you to the Lamb of God. But would you say, Pastor, listen, I couldn't raise my hand. Don't know him. Say, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. This is not a game. This is not a joke. I'm telling you, people are saved through the power of prayer. Would you raise your hand up anywhere in this building? Raise it up high where I can see it. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you there. Other hands today. I'm lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand before we pray? Get in on this prayer. Get in on this prayer. Anywhere else in the church house? All right, and here's what the deal is. I promised you I'd pray for you. There's two hands raised. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to pray for you. And I mean, I'm going to pray with everything in my heart. You'll be saved today. But we're going to stand in just a moment. And here's what I want you to do. The second we stand, I want you to move out right then. Now, you're in a spiritual battle right now. The devil's going to tell you not now, not today, not now, not today. But I'm telling you something. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And when we stand, I want you to step out immediately and come, and you do business with God. Call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. God won't play games with you. God will save you if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to stand right now. I want you to come, and let's sing this old song today.